Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 64. Landon Porter's back, and he's showing us how to max out the marketing potential of free tools on Facebook.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
Free Market Squad, back in the place to be. We got Landon Porter on the call with us again. So Landon is actually a very recent guest on the show. And if you're listening to this, you probably recognize him either because he was one of the most recent guests or because I get a lot of listeners from his Facebook group. Actually, Landon, a lot of people have been coming over to the podcast because of your group. So much love and many thanks for that. Just a real quick maybe elevator pitch for what it is that you do. I don't want to get the full-on introduction that we did last time because people can just go back to the last podcast episode. But who is Landon Porter? What is Sales Guerrilla? And what is it that you do?
Sure. So I've been in the sales industry for about 15 years. Because of the way sales is typically done, I found myself in a situation where I couldn't stand myself. So I found a better way, in my opinion, to do the sales gig, which is really how to do sales without being salesy, how to get clients without being salesy. And I was talked into doing this online coaching training course thing, and it's absolutely taken off. And one of the things that I realized I really like doing is building an audience. And now I've got people asking me about how are you building your audience. So that's what that's all about. Sales Guerrilla is kind of my moniker for doing it. So that's basically it.
Okay. So I'm going to take that as our jump off point because that's why I wanted to have you on. I don't know if I said it in the beginning or if it was before we started recording, but you've taken your audience from 0 to 160 in the light. It was maybe a month ago that you were on the show, a month and a half ago. You were just barely starting a Facebook group. That group has just blown up and you are just rocking Facebook till the wheels fall off. And so I wanted to talk to you about your tactics on Facebook, the things that you're doing, the point of the group, because I definitely want to send people over to it's getting clients without being salesy.
Yeah, it's bit.ly/GuerrillaJuice, or you can search us on Facebook as Getting Clients Without Being Salesy.
Awesome. So we're going to talk about all of that stuff and probably more, but I want to start with, this is probably the wrong foot to start the conversation off on, but my biggest fear about Facebook, because I've dealt with clients that have had their Facebook ads accounts shut down. I've obviously, me and you are friends on Facebook. You see the stuff that I post. I sometimes post stuff that probably pushes the line a little bit too far. And I've had my Facebook account closed for the 30 days, or you're not allowed to post to people's walls for 10 days. For me, it's very scary and intimidating, the idea of building my platform on Facebook rented property. You seem to be just going full balls to the wall on Facebook, though. So address that concern for me. What are your thoughts about that? And for somebody out there who's in my position where I've had ads accounts closed down, I've had Facebook groups censored, I've had posts of mine deleted from Facebook. How is it that, I guess, is that a concern for you? Or is it you're just like, I'm not going to do the stuff that might wind me up in that boat? But with Facebook ads, you know, terms and conditions changing so frequently, I don't know if anybody can escape that boat.
Yeah. So my whole philosophy in life is hope for the best, plan for the worst, right? You and I started our conversation. I reached out to you, and I'm going to go on here for about 3 or 4 minutes to really give you an understanding of what I'm really trying to explain. When I cold approached you on Facebook, my intention was to determine if there was an opportunity for you and I to have a fit, a relationship, a connection based on what I'd seen you posting in one of the groups that we hang out in. I figured we were a fit. I'm looking at doing a podcast. You and I've had this conversation. That's not changed. Essentially, what I'm doing in my Facebook group is I'm kind of cutting my teeth to build my audience, to build my brand, to make a splash. And I'm doing all of those things intentionally. With the Facebook group, I stumbled on a couple of the things that you get Facebook love from their algorithm. I hate typing, which is why I want to do a podcast. So doing the Facebook Lives is totally natural to me. Turns out Facebook loves that. So to answer your question, I'm building my group on Facebook and I'm doing it well within their rules and laws and regulations. And based on my take on how to do sales, translate that to marketing, I'm well within their guidelines. And I don't let people in my group go outside of their guidelines. Our ad account for marketing about what we do in the course and the group and all of that, same thing, well within their guidelines. However, we're building our platform and we're building all of our following off of Facebook, meaning we're using other platforms where we're housing our membership site and we use Zoom to do all of our coaching calls and all of that stuff. So I'm hoping for the best. I'm planning for the worst.
Okay. That's something that is very natural to your personality, and I really respect that, and I totally feel it. So let's start, I guess, the conversation with something that I find is a lot of the rules that apply to marketing also apply to how you handle – if you understand how marketing works, if you understand how good copywriting works, you can max out Facebook. When I started applying the basic understanding of marketing and copywriting to the way I posted on Facebook, my engagement went through the roof. The amount of shares that I get. Last month, I had a post that got like 700 plus shares. So I get tons of engagement, likes, angry faces, hearts. But I see other people that use Facebook, sometimes trying to use it for marketing or advertising, whatever it is that they're selling, sometimes using it for trying to just post like most people do. And it seems to me like if you understand marketing, if you understand the sales process, Facebook is kind of built around the same psychological factors that if you can write a good sales letter, you can probably write a very interactive or very response getting Facebook post. What have you in what you're doing? Because you're doing an amazing job. I would say that out of everybody that I know on Facebook, you're probably the only person that I would say utilizes Facebook better than myself. And that's kind of probably egotistical, but the fact is most people don't Facebook very well.
Right.
What are some of the things from your sales background and from your marketing understanding that you are applying to the way that you use Facebook? And are you seeing the same? Are you seeing that having that knowledge is making your Facebook posts more interactive, more response getting?
Sure. So, what's Facebook's job at the end of the day? To keep their platform alive and not become a dinosaur, what's Facebook's job? Facebook's job is to, from behind the scenes, figure out how to engineer an algorithm that rewards and penalizes based on what you do that causes what they do, and they being the people that are following you, right? So from a marketing and a sales standpoint, it's really simple. From a sales guy's perspective, the only reason for the first thing I say when somebody picks up the phone call on a sales call is to sell the ability to ask them the question I want to ask them. A marketer's perspective, the only goal of the headline is to get them to read the next line and then the next line. So if you take it from that perspective, what we're doing is we're encouraging engagement, right? Based on what we do on that platform. When I do a Facebook Live and the first few things that I say, it's all about selling them the idea to stay on and watch. while doing that, I'm also selling them on the idea that I have an idea of how the algorithm works, and please do this and do that and do this so other people see it. So from a marketing and a sales standpoint, leveraging what Facebook wants from me, and then they're rewarding me for that, and I test and adjust and test and adjust, I've figured out how to drive that engagement. And it doesn't help that I'm not a shithead, right? So I'm not perfect, and I can totally – I've got the ability to be, you know, an asshole. And I'm polarizing, which you have to have in marketing or selling anything, but specifically to build an audience, I have to make it so some people hate me. And I, by doing that – the other people love me. So all of those pieces combined basically create the perfect storm for Facebook to say, the people that are watching this love this. The people that are reading this love this. Let's send that to more people. And you're right. It is absolutely taking off. And I can – there's six or seven specific reasons why that's happening. But it starts from a marketing perspective.
So I've noticed that I, because of some of the crowds that I run with, a lot of people like to cry about Facebook censoring them and Facebook not letting their posts get out, specifically with political type posts. And you've read some of my stuff, and I don't really shy away from any of my political beliefs, but I put them in a very compelling arguments. I put them in story format. I write my – when I'm trying to sell my political beliefs, I'm selling them. I'm taking right. everything that I know on how to write a great sales letter, and at the end, the call to action is, here, I want you to consider this belief. Right. And other people don't – maybe – I don't know. Because the same thing I see with people that use Facebook to try and sell their wire jewelry or sell their whatever the case may be. It's just, here's a picture of this. Hit me up if you want it. I'm selling this for $20. And it gets – it's in my timeline, so I know it's in other people's timeline. But it was posted 4 hours ago, and it got one like. And not – it makes me sad sometimes because I'm like, well, you got a great product, but you're not, you don't know how to sell at all. You don't understand marketing. And because of that, Facebook is not pushing this to people that need to see it. Same thing with, I really think you got a very compelling idea, and I wish more people would be able to hear this, but the way you're posting it, it's just not getting out there. So what are some of the ways that you have found to get your posts out there that, because, I mean, what it is that you're selling, you're selling on Facebook, you're constantly selling. And people say, well, if you just try to be spammy and sell, Facebook's just going to not show you. But your stuff gets – my whole timeline is filled up with Landon Porter, the sales gorilla. So what is it that you put into your posts to try and or to effectively get your posts out to more people?
Yep. So – a couple of things. At first, it comes from a mindset, and I'll explain that in a second, but that's the first ingredient that you've got to have. Really, what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with having a conversation with other human beings, but we have to adjust. It's kind of like sailing. We have to adjust for the wind, and that wind is the Facebook algorithm, right? If you know what in general, the parameters are for the reward side of the system from Facebook, and you play by that rule to begin with, you automatically get more. You see all my stuff for a couple of reasons, and I can give you some of the ideas. You and I interact and engage on three different places within Facebook: in Messenger, on our own timelines, individual timelines, and then in my group specifically. But you and I have even engaged you and I a little bit in a couple of other groups. That basically builds a point system for you and me seeing each other's stuff. Okay, now let's take that and apply it to somebody who has engaged with me on my personal timeline. The amount of points that we have between us is way low compared to what you and I have, because we're in each other's, we're communicating on different levels within the platform. Somebody who comes into my group and engages with me there they're going to see my stuff because I've got a huge pile of points with Facebook when it comes to, oh, everybody likes this guy, we're going to show his shit to everybody. I'm not going to see them because we haven't engaged with each other enough. That's kind of the way this works. Now, the mindset aspect of it is I'm coming out with a message that I know people want to hear because I've tested this. I'm going after a marketplace of people who don't want to sell, but they have to sell. And the people that I'm going after need to sell their thing, their craft, specifically really service-based business owners. And they want to be able to do that without being salesy. So I've polarized that marketplace. Those people love me. My message always comes from that standpoint of you can sell by having an actual humanized conversation. And the way that Landon does it, it's the attraction marketing piece. I never have to offer my thing for sale ever. And so people just clamor to that because they're trying to figure out how to do it for themselves. So that's the mindset piece of it. And then playing within Facebook's parameters on what they reward and penalize for is how I'm able is how I've been able to do this.
So one of the things that when you were bringing that up kind of reminded me of like reciprocity, where if you want people to do something for you, you need to do something for them. And I've noticed that just by simply liking things or adding a comment to things, or if somebody adds a comment to my stuff, liking their comments or replying to their comments tends to push my stuff into their feed more frequently. And a lot of people just post stuff and then don't want to go that extra mile to, they want other people to respond to their stuff, but they don't want to respond to other people's stuff. As far as the algorithm goes in your experience, how important is it to actually give those responses, give those likes in order to get them back from people?
It's huge. And let me paint a picture for everybody that's listening. 10 years ago, when the internet really was just kind of starting to get going and we had some social platforms, we were all in the mindset of we've been able to connect the way we normally naturally as human beings would connect. Go over to somebody's house, you call them on the phone and have a conversation. Email was going, but text really hadn't even like spread to the masses yet. So we were in the place as humans where we're actually connecting. Somebody calls you, you pick up the phone, right? Or you immediately call them back from leaving a voice message. As that bell curve happened, as the internet got better and better, things became more and more and more automated. Right now the cell phone rings and you're like, fuck mom, really? Really? You can't send me a text message, right? Let alone friends and people in business and all that. But email is extremely automated. Everything that you can do on Facebook now is automated. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google. I mean, it's automated. It's automated. It's robots. Now we've got bots. And if you use those right, oh my God, there's some amazing power there. But where I'm going with this is the cycle of the connectability between humans is back to the point where people want to know that you actually give a damn, that you actually care, and you want to take the time and give the effort to connect. Facebook knows this. Facebook knows that it's all about the reciprocity, like you called it, in the back and forth. I'm taking time out of my life to actually connect with you. Now, with that in mind, take it a step further. The only resource we've got we can't ever get back is time. We value it above money. Well, if I take time out of my day to reach out to somebody and cold approach them in a bullshit, spammy, salesy kind of way, they're like, this is fucking stupid. But if I take the time to send somebody a short 10-second video message, hey, Nathan, I've been checking out some of your stuff. I've followed you in a couple of different groups. I really dig your message. Just wanted to say, hey, thanks for connecting. Have a great day. Somebody gets that and they're like, holy shitballs. Well, guess what Facebook does? Facebook also goes, holy shitballs. Because it's that actual interaction. And if you do it right, like a marketer or a salesperson who does the sales thing, starting a conversation the right way, oh boy, you get the amazeballs back from the human being, and Facebook sees that and goes, holy crap, they want to see everybody. They want to see everything each other posts. And that's what's going on.
So one of the other things that I notice in my own posts, because I'm constantly testing. Like I'll put out posts and I'll just I'll go into it assuming, okay, I think this is going to have this kind of response, but sometimes I'm shocked and shown something totally different than what I expected. But sometimes I can look back at it and be like, okay, I can understand why I got that response. I've noticed that just like in copywriting, if my post is all about me, if I'm like, I did this, da 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 da, or this happened to me today, I might get a mediocre response. But when I start off my post with you something something, or has this ever happened to you, or I start off by speaking to the people reading it, I'm going to get a lot more likes. I'm going to get a lot more comments. And that's just basically like kind of a rule of copywriting, is you go through your copy at the end and make sure that you're talking to the person more than you're talking about yourself. And I've noticed that that has a huge impact on Facebook posts and engagement as well. What are your thoughts on just the way your message is put together as far as getting people to respond and getting people to engage?
Mm-hmm. On the human side, people want to know and think and hear and feel about themselves, right? So if you come at me about something, what do I think or how do I feel, or, you know, it's a me thing. Now I'm looking at you as more of a leader instead of a taker, right? So that's the human side of it. I've tested this as well. I've tested this in my closed group. I've tested this in my secret group. I've tested this on my business pages, and I've tested this on my personal page. When I write posts that elicit a kind of, yes, I will participate and respond because you're asking me to, and however you write that as a copywriter, I speak it as a salesperson, so I write as I would speak it. I've noticed that I get faster engagement and more people see it. It's pretty easy to think, with the ability that a giant company like Facebook has building their algorithm, one of the easiest things to do is some very simple language sequencing to determine, is this something that's going to elicit a reaction or is this something that's not? And I have to imagine, especially based on seeing the engagement, the interaction that I get, depending on how I do it, that's built into the algorithm. It has to be.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. One more question. And towards the end of the interview, I want to really talk about some of the marketing tools, because Facebook has become a marketing machine over the last couple of years. And more than anybody, you're blowing me away with the way that you're using it. But I don't want to jump into that yet. I do want to cover one more thing as far as engagement, because right now I guess the first half of the show, it's been kind of like a personal profile, how you're using Facebook, how to get more engagement. One thing that I see that's just such a cheap trick, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can set me straight about this, but it just infuriates me, is when I see people do these posts that it seems like it's just almost artificial curiosity just to drive engagement. I see people post things like, what was your favorite 80s movie? Or do you like pineapples on pizza or anchovies? Or something like, when was the last time you ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And it's completely off brand for the person. It seems like it's just, they're just trying to game the algorithm. And I see people respond to them, but it's not, for me, it's kind of like that low quality versus high quality leads, where you can put something out there and you can attract a bunch of people, but are they the right type of people? What are your thoughts on, because I see gurus say, well, if you want to get Facebook engagement, ask them stuff like, what kind of underwear are you wearing today? And people will respond to that and you'll trick the algorithm. What are your feelings about tricking the algorithm into with nonsense? Sincere answer provoking questions like that.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to questions like that, that are blatant conversational clickbait, it's absolute bullshit. And the short term effect is, oh, you're a shitbag marketer doing the sales thing the salesy way, as that kind of shitty sales kind of person. In the midterm and the long term, it it dilutes the audience that you've got, because the people that respond to that are the lesser, right? They're the worst leads. And the people that are good leads that are in your audience, they see that, and that cheapens you and the way you do things. But really what it does is, because of the people that are engaging with you and the way Facebook's algorithm is set up, guess who gets more to engage with you? The lesser of those leads, right? So the short term right now, fast, easy, dirty, quick, free, cheap, easy button is bullshit. It's always proven that out in marketing in every way. And the people that have to rely and resort to those tactics are short-term thinkers, and that's fine. They make the rest of us look really good.
Yeah, it's just for me personally, because there's one person that I follow, her radio show, and I think in her niche, she's brilliant, but I see her do that all the time. And just like you said, it makes me lose respect for her. And I'm just like, oh, come on, girl, why would you even do that? Because the responses that you get, it's just like when you see somebody run a promotion, it's like, enter your email for the chance to win a free iPod. And it's like, okay, well, everybody wants a free iPod. Are you really targeting and getting the emails of the people that you actually want on your email list? Or are you just filling up your email list with people that, if they do get the iPod or if they don't, they're not going to be worthwhile cluttering up your list in the long run?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about all of the stuff that you've been doing that, to me, is just pushing Facebook to the limits as far as its marketing potential. And I feel you make me feel like a slacker. So in the second half of the show, I'm gonna expose all of my shortcomings to my audience by comparing myself to the things that you're doing on Facebook that I know I should probably be doing as well.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
And I'm not gonna plug anything in the mid-roll. Let's just jump right back into the show.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
Okay, Free Market Squad, we are back. We got Landon Porter, the sales gorilla. You can't see the video right now, but I'm watching Landon on Skype as we're recording this, and he's got this really awesome, like, wood plaque customized with the Sales Gorilla logo on there. What's the story behind that, Landon?
A good friend of mine here in Colorado, longtime friend, makes signs. He put together a wood shop with some of his grandfather's and his father's wood shop tools, and I got the same thing going in my garage from my grandfather and my dad, something we connected on. He made me one of those big plank Colorado signs, and I was blown away because it's handmade. It's not like, you know, printed. And he saw my logo and he said, "Hey man, I've got a surprise for you." And I was like, sweet. I went over there. It's 2 feet by 2 feet, handmade. Not only is it handmade, but it's hand painted.
Oh, nice.
It's badass. And I was like, holy crap, that's so rad.
Yeah, dude, it looks like one of the old school professional sign maker things that you would see outside of somebody's shop. It's amazing. I love it.
Thanks.
So, I appreciate that. Yeah, give your boy props for me. Tell him I thought it was awesome. So we're going to jump back into it. Landon Porter, Sales Gorilla, you help people get sales and or get clients without being salesy, which for me, I like being salesy. Maybe there's something wrong with me, but I hear all the time people say, "Oh, I need to get sales, but I hate being salesy." And you help people with that. And I guess before we jump into it, is that like a huge need in the marketplace? Is that something that you find a lot? Because it seems like you're just attracting all kinds of people.
Yeah. Well, there's two things. I don't think, Nathan, you're salesy at all. You actually have a very clear understanding on how to start, continue, and end a sales conversation without being a douchebag. for lack of a better term. There's a lot of people in the marketplace who sell whatever they sell, that it's always a hard sell. It's always a push. It's always about overcoming the 19th objection. They don't ever take no for an answer, et cetera, et cetera. That I think is bullshit. Here's the deal. To become a really good, well-paid salesperson is a big ass skill set. It takes a long period of time to learn how to do that really well. Most people have a thing that they want to sell, a craft. You do podcasts. Some people do ads as an agency. Other people have web design businesses, etc. That's the thing that they're an expert at. They need to get clients so they can continue doing their craft. But they think that they need to sell it in a specific way. We help those kind of people who don't want to be salespeople still sell their craft. That's what we do.
Nice. Because at the end of the day, if you've got something of value that can help other people, that can improve other people's lives, you kind of have an obligation to get it out there, to sell it to people. But I have noticed a lot of people in myself earlier in my earlier life, before I kind of embraced that attitude, I also did deal with the fact that I didn't want to be a salesperson. But now that I've gotten into sales and I've kind of embraced it, and like you said, there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. And you definitely, I think the reason that me and you click is because we're on the same page in a lot of aspects like that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yep. Let's jump into what you've been doing with Facebook, and I kind of want to go through point by point. We started off the show talking about my concerns about replacing traditional marketing tools, because all of the traditional marketing tools, Facebook has their own version of now, or it has integrations that allow you to do you can do something very similar to email marketing. You can do something very similar to forums. You can do something very similar to webinars. And you're utilizing all of these, like, very cutting edge stuff, and you're out there using them. And I have a little bit of hesitancy, but you're out there showing me that I am definitely asleep at the wheel with some of these things. So let's just start with Facebook Live and how you're utilizing that, and what's your strategy behind it, and what are your results from doing the Facebook Live personal profile versus inside of the group, and what's your strategy and what's your results?
Sure. I totally want to answer that. Before I get there, I have to make a clarification. In the 70s and the 80s, when the cell phone came out and salespeople could put a $3,000 a month phone in their car, everybody was like, "You're out of your goddamn mind." And the sales guy was like, "Are you serious? I can be on the phone with a client anytime I want." And then when email came out and people were saying, "We can sell through email marketing," most people were like, "You're out of your goddamn mind," right? And I could give 40 other examples of that. Facebook is a platform that's here to stay. They have to figure out how to make it work. Those of us who play within the, right? 10 years ago, you could have a 300,000, 400,000 email list and do something wrong and get it shut down. Your platform's gone. You're fucked. Facebook is no different. Facebook is a little bit more operational. The difference here is email marketing, that platform that you had your list on, was the skate park with two ramps, whereas Facebook is kind of like the mall, the indoor, outdoor, big, giant city mall, right? That's kind of the difference. So I totally understand and I totally hear you and I totally agree with that. Now, with that said, the Facebook Lives work in a couple of different ways. Facebook has realized that the connection between people, since it's live, I'm here. You can see me. You can interact with my tone and my body language, and you can, right? It's interesting. Not a lot of people are doing it. Those of us who are doing it early and doing it often are getting really rewarded for it. Here's a couple of differences that I see. I have a lot of people in my circle that are doing these from their personal profile. Fantastic. If you want to build your personal profile, guess what? That's limited to 5,000 people. You can do these from your business page. Fantastic. But that gated community, if you will, is limited to what you can put on there, right? A lot of people don't go and post on other people's business page. You can't really carry on a long-term conversation like that. The group, on the other hand, is more like a forum like you're talking about. Now, if you keep your group clean like you would a good, high-quality email list, Facebook loves you. If you're helping them cut out the crap and cut off the fat, they love it. So what happens if I do a Facebook Live on my personal profile? I get a bunch of people that are already my friends list see it, and some people from their friends list also might see it. If I do it for my business page, if my business page is strong, healthy, and moving, Facebook rewards that. Lots of people see that come into their feed, but really only people that are engaged with that. Facebook groups, on the other hand, it's a community. Guess what happens in community? Well, if they're strong and they're moving and they're healthy, it's engagement. Facebook says, if we can get a bunch of people in a room and they all mostly like each other and they're always chatting and hanging out and talking, they hang out a long time. So if you do a Facebook Live in your group and it goes bananas and it's amazing, Facebook starts showing your group in all kinds of different places, not just the people that are in there, not just the people on your feed, not just the people that have seen your Facebook business page. They start showing it on suggested groups and recommended groups, right? And so they really open the door to that, to get that in front of other people. And what's really cool about this, Facebook's the king of targeting. Guess what that means for me? They're showing my stuff to the people that are just like the people that are loving and engaging my stuff. So guess what that happens? I get more people that love the stuff that I'm doing without having to do a lot of work.
So for your group settings, does whether it's a private group or a closed group or an open group, does that matter at all? How have you played around with that and seen different results?
Yes. So the closed group is the way that this works best. A secret group, it doesn't work. It's basically like Facebook turns a blind eye to it. They don't really care what you do in that secret group as far as what they will or will not give you. A closed group is Facebook's first check mark of the people that run this and own this care about it being healthy and clean long term. So that's like, that's on the very top of their list. Closed group, Facebook Lives all the time. Yeah, dude, let's get into it.
Okay, so next question, and you're one of the first people I've seen utilizing this. So at first, Facebook Live was just from the cell phone. You could hold your cell phone up, you could videotape yourself, or videotape, I'm old. You can video record yourself. Then just recently, Facebook started rolling out, and I think everybody has access now where the webcam or whatever camera you've got on your computer, you can go live from that on Facebook now. You don't have to hold your phone out and worry about your phone dying and all of that stuff. There's apparently plugins now, because I've seen you do Facebook Lives where it's you and somebody else and you've got like bottom thirds across your video where it says Landon Porter and then it says the other person's name. And for somebody like me who loves doing webinars, I need to be able to do like screen share. I need to be able to show people what's going on. If I've got a PDF or a keynote or a PowerPoint, I need to be able to show that. Is that available in Facebook, or do you have to have plugins for that? I know that you've probably been experimenting with a lot of different tools that integrate with Facebook. What are your findings on this type of stuff?
Mm-hmm. So Facebook's native platform doesn't allow you to have more than one person really on at a time. They're testing some things in some different really big, massive groups. I've heard that Facebook's native Facebook Live has the ability to do that. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure it's coming. Facebook takes the best what everybody else is doing, and then they go make their own version that's coming. And hint, hint, once that kind of marketing tool comes out to where you can do a webinar like straight within Facebook, it'll probably be a paid upgrade option. Just throwing that out there. We'll talk more about that in a second. There are plugins. There are third-party applications that you can use right now that do those things. OBS is one of them. OBS works amazingly well for people who use Mac because it's free to do the things like sharing your screen, etc. For those of us on PC, I think it's a $100 or $200 upgrade to be able to share your screen, right? Like show a webinar slides. BeLive.tv is an amazing third-party application plugin, if you will, that allows you to have two people on at the same time. You can use it as just you doing like a Q&A session. They just recently opened up to where you can have almost like a talk show. You've got, I think, seven people in essentially a waiting room and three people on screen at the same time. They've got a really cool ability to do the bottom thirds with when people comment, you can show that comment or the person's name. It's BeLive.tv and it's awesome. It's free. It works really, really well 92% of the time. They're still like figuring it out and working some bugs out. I've probably done 50 or 60 Facebook Lives with BeLive TV, and I love it. But it's got its limitations. One of those limitations is they're not a big, huge thing outside of doing that, right? So they're small enough to where they still do have some issues, and there's some things that aren't the way they ought to be. But for a free option, it's amazing. My choice currently is Zoom. Zoom's been around for a long time. They're actually an enterprise-level provider for web meetings. They've got an option to do webinars on within Zoom. It's also what we use for our coaching calls. But then I can stream that to Facebook. Now, here's an interesting thing for those of you who are paying attention to the but it's outside of Facebook. Like, don't post a link in your Facebook group that's a link to outside, because Facebook goes, oh, you're sending people away from here. We're going to cut you down a little bit. Using a third party to do video within Facebook as it is now doesn't seem to affect the reach at all. Within Facebook, doing a Facebook Live through their native video camera, you've got a between a 2 and a 4 second lag. Using a BeLive or a Zoom, you've got anywhere from between about a 7 and a 10 second lag. If you know that, it's not a big deal. But those are a couple of the tools that we're using.
So, and that kind of brings up one of my other concerns. I use webinars to build my list. I use webinars to collect emails. And also the webinar software that I use, it allows me to place call to actions at the end of the webinar. It allows me to do countdown clocks. Those are some things that are, as far as I know, not available via Facebook Live.
Correct. Not yet. It's coming. There are a couple of third-party applications out there that are working on it. I know Zoom for a fact is working on the ability to have clickable buttons, etc. I did a webinar a week ago tomorrow in my group using Facebook Slides and the whole nine yards. Here's the difference. Instead of having a countdown timer, I have a couple of people that are helping me grow this. They're managing the comments and they're, you know, letting people know, et cetera, et cetera. The link went in the comments. It wasn't fantastic, but it absolutely worked. And because there's not a solution out there that handles all of this yet, people don't know that it could be better, even though they've been on 500 webinars in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm. So we've covered Facebook Live. We've kind of covered webinars. I want to kind of circle back around to groups versus forums. One thing that I know is it's so hard to get people to create another user account if you want to start up a forum on a website. To get people to create another username, create another password, it's like, God, I already got 50 freaking passwords that I'm trying to remember as it is. Do you have an outside of Facebook community, and how do you use the Facebook community integrated with an outside of Facebook community? And what's the plus and minuses of both inside of Facebook versus outside of Facebook?
Sure. So yes, we do have an outside of Facebook. It's not a community. It's a members area. That's where we can exchange information about the thing that we teach. I have discussed with everybody, and I will continue to do so, that if ever our community platform goes away, we will move this to somewhere else, whether it's a forum, whether it's Slack, whatever it is. I don't believe I'm going to get shut down, and I don't think that I'm being naive about that. The way that we're utilizing Facebook, we're not even close to the great edges. We're well within. However, plan for the worst. We have the ability to migrate that. And here's an interesting thing. I don't know how much up on groups you are, but there's some big internet marketing groups that are dissolving and or moving and or changing. let's go back to 2008 when the big internet marketers were like, oh, your open rates are dropping. If you send an email with the subject line, something along the lines of, you don't want to be here anymore, question mark, or are you sure you don't want to get these, or something along those lines, you get engagement, you get people opening it. And then in the body of the email, you say something to the effect of, don't take this the wrong way, but I noticed you hadn't opened the last 8 emails that we sent. If you don't want to get these anymore, that's fine. If you don't respond or you don't click or whatever, you will stop getting our emails. They are cleaning their list, quality over quantity. What a lot of the groups on Facebook right now are doing, especially the 30, 40, 50, 100,000 people groups, they're so big and the engagement has waned, kind of like the open rates on email, that they are actively saying, we're moving. You don't want to have another username and password. However, if you find this valuable enough to come with us, this is what we're doing. And they go from 50,000 to 20,000 or 50 to 10. But those 10 that went, oh man, they buy everything. They're the ones you want on your list, right? That's kind of what I see it as. Does that answer your question?
It does partially, but then the other half of that question is engagement, because everybody's on Facebook. They don't have to leave the Facebook app that's on their phone that they're checking every time that they're sitting at a traffic light or every time that they're robbing their employer in an extra long bathroom break. So everybody's already on Facebook,
and they will stay on Facebook.
And having that extra step of go to my website, type in the URL, rather than just click that one button that's on your cell phone app or whatever. Have you noticed a difference of – I mean, even inside of a Facebook group, it's kind of hard to get people engaged and to get people posting and commenting. It takes a lot. I mean, hats off to you, because you do a really great job of it. But on an outside of Facebook forum, it's been my experience that they're even, 10 times as hard to get, because they don't have a million people actively on that platform at that time.
Yep. Yes, you are absolutely 100% correct. And what drives engagement? First, it's value. Second, it's the message. And third, it's the space to engage with the message that they're being given, right? Make no mistake, it is absolutely somewhere between 12 and 14 hours of my day currently is being active in the group. It is a shit ton of work, but it doesn't always stay that way. Here in the next 6 months, when we hit 10,000 members or 20,000 members, and we've culled them intentionally, we pull out and keep the active, engaged members. And we let the ones that don't engage go. We do a purge like Arnie did 2 weeks ago. And all it did was he got rid of 1,000 people that sucked and he brought in 2,000 people that are awesome. The engagement piece, because it's there, it's native, it's on your phone, that's where you hang out. If your message is something they can and will and want to engage with, then that's the key, right? You have to have something that engages. You and I are both in a really small, very tight-knit group. You and I'm not going to drop the name on here, but you know which one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The engagement in that group is fucking insane. Why? Because the people in there, that's the community. That's the point. That's what Facebook wants. Build a community and everybody's talking about the thing they want to talk about. They provide their own engagement. To get it to that point is where all the work's at. And that's the stage that we're in right now, is getting and it's beginning to happen. The inner group connection and engagement is starting to take hold. And it's
happening. I got to say, because I've struggled. I have the Free Market Squad, and that is – I don't have the time to dedicate to it that you've been putting in with your getting – clients without being salesy. I'm just blown away with, like I said, you were on the show a little bit over a month ago and you were just starting off this endeavor, and within that time you have just blown my mind with how much response, with how much engagement, with how much you've been able to just blow up that group. And I know it's been a lot of hard work, but man, you are just getting results.
We're kicking ass and taking names, and it's not it's not all for naught, right? We are absolutely getting some monetary results by doing what we're doing. And there's a bunch of different other aspects to that side of it. We are intentionally and 100% doing what we're doing for monetary reasons. We just believe that we're doing it with the right intention and the correct agenda.
You're getting clients without being salesy.
Fucking A, Batman.
So let's before we're out of here, I want to cover the last one. And this is something that I have. Oh, man, this is one of those things where I'm like, I'm not sure if I want to be an early adopter. And that is chatbots. I love email marketing. I see almost all of my results from email marketing. Email marketing is a different beast. I think people are more receptive to sales messages in email marketing, and I don't know. It seems like every single person that I've seen, and I'm on like 20 or 30 different people's chatbots, and I haven't seen anybody, maybe I should do it just to show people the way that it should be done, but I have not seen anybody utilize chatbots in a way that feels native to the Facebook inbox. And so I've been very hesitant, but you're actually doing a pretty good job with the chatbots, and you're one of the people that's jumping on them. For people that don't know, because some of my audience, chatbots are kind of new. Some of my audience is like, well, what's a chatbot? Explain what a chatbot is versus email marketing.
Sure. So email marketing, you could build out an email sequence and set it on auto, and on, you know, somebody opts into your email list today and they get an email, and then tomorrow they get an email, and the day after that they get an email. And if you follow one of our favorite people, they get one every day after that. Cat's out of the bag, probably. now with the automated email thing, the people that sign up for 99% of the people that opt into an email list know that they're getting an automated message, with the exception of a small handful of people that actually get up and write a new email message every day like you do, which is awesome because you can fucking tell the difference. Now, with that said, the chatbot thing is essentially the same thing. It is a pre-written sequence that you're going to walk somebody down a path. They have to take an action, then something happens. You either make a statement that they have to agree with or disagree with, or you ask them a question they agree with or disagree with. And it's basically like your choose your own adventure path. They are brand new. And since marketers fuck up everything, everybody's basically following the same process or the same main path that the first couple of people came out and did. And basically it's a if this, then that path. But it's very narrow view, right? We are testing that, and we're following that model to see what kind of engagement that actually gets. We're actually building out a completely different process using chatbots. Now, there's a couple of pieces that I can't say, but let's go ahead and just you and I right now agree that in 2 or 3 months, 60 to 90 days, we should come back on and do one just on messaging and engagement and interaction, and then with the chatbot being the big piece of it. There are absolute major, huge, awesome things that can be done with chatbots. But again, it's done right. And what I'm talking about is a supportive measure. It's not a marketing measure. I think they're here to stay. I don't think they'll ever go away. I think that people that do them, almost all of them, are going to do them really poorly and make a bad name for them. The people who do it the right way are going to get notoriety in their marketplace among the top 2 or 3 people that kill it with that thing. And I think there's a huge opportunity in that aspect.
Okay, maybe I need to stop sleeping on the chatbots, because the way that they're doing them, I see people doing them, I'm like, oh man, I could do such a better one than this, but I just hesitate. So, Landon, thank you again for coming on. We're out of time. Where did the time go?
Free minds, free markets, free people.
For those of you who are listening, if you're interested in this online engagement, building an audience topic, we agreed to do a masterclass specific to Nathan's podcast followers, and we're going to give you guys access to that. We're going to do this in this next week, probably 7-8 days from now when you hear this. It'll be 2 hours long. You guys will get it for free. We will absolutely be charging for it outside of you guys. You can get that at thesalesgorilla.com/podcast. And it's gorilla spelled like the animal, not the warrior.
So that's G-O-R-I-L-L-A.
Yes, sir. If you want to come check out what we're doing in our Facebook group, you can find us at Getting Clients Without Being Salesy or bit.ly/GorillaJuice, J-U-I-C-E.
Nice. All right, Landon Porter, this has been another awesome conversation. We're definitely going to have to get you back on. I'm going to make the commitment. I'm going to start looking more into chatbots, and we'll come back and revisit the subject. And you brought me over to the dark side.
Right on. Cool. Thanks a lot for having me on, Nathan. You have a great night.
Absolutely. You too.